Rick Tittle still plays with dolls.
Welcome back to Sports Byline. Of course, heard coast to coast and border to border and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. As you know, I'm a huge fan of comedy, and whenever we get the stars in at Cobb's or the Punchline here, we like to bring them in. And we've got a phone interview with Louis Anderson. He's going to be at Cobb's. A couple shows Friday night, a couple shows on Saturday night as well. And I've been a fan of this guy for a long time. You probably have been as well. And Louis, I'll start off by asking you, the last thing we saw you in is baskets, and you're playing Zach Galifianakis' mom, and you are the one that steals every scene that you're in. When you got approached to play the mom, what did you think?
I thought good, you know, like I said I can do that, because in my act, you know, I talk about my mom a lot. You know, she's a big part of the act, and my dad also. And I know who that character was, being my mom, and I have five sisters. And I said, it's Louis C.K. and Zach Galifianakis and Jonathan Kreisel. And I went, geez, that's comedy royalty, you know. And so I said, I'm gonna do it. I'll give it a shot, see how it goes.
Well, did you think, you know, Linda Hunt won an Oscar for A Year of Living Dangerously when she played the man.
She was great in that, man.
Yeah.
She was. I love Linda Hunt. I got to meet her once. I was really happy about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny, too, Louis, is that I like anyone who can just the range, and not just range of playing a woman, but all the things you've done, from stand-up to movies to game shows to television. What's your favorite of all those disciplines?
Well, the baskets character is really one of the big ones, because it takes people by surprise. So that's always great when you can, like, really, you know, kind of like, because people don't know, you know, people know who is, they know this, that it's me, and or that it's someone they know on some level, but they don't know it's me right away. And then, you know, I try to disappear in the part. That's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, like, have Louis Anderson disappear as Mom Baskets. And, you know, that's my biggest challenge. I guess if I had to go and map them all out, the biggest impact probably is Life with Louis. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I got to recreate my family. I got to make them, you know, I got to make my dad do whatever he wanted, make my mom, you know, the mom I wanted in it, you know. And so that was a big revelation. That was really fun to be able to do that. And that became popular in like 18 countries, you know. And so that was a big, wonderful thing. I got to play all the voices. But I liked everything I've done, you know. I liked the acting. I loved, you know, Coming to America. I loved the game show. I loved doing, we used to play Family Feud as a kid in our living room. I'd sit in the edge of the couch, and my dad would be in his chair, and my mom would be in the kitchen, and my dad would complain about Richard Dawson kissing off. Look at him! Look at him! Kissing those women like that, for God's sakes.
Is it true, Louis, that when you took the show, you asked Richard to come on down, and he's like, I'll pass?
Yeah, I think, you know, he was hurt that it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
Being the host again. And, you know, I feel for that. I never held it against him. And you know, he's the guy who I just tried to pay homage to. I never tried to be Richard Dawson, you know. I just tried to be Louis Anderson up there.
It is Louis Anderson we're speaking with here. He's at Cobb's Friday and Saturday, two shows each night. You mentioned Coming to America, and that's another thing that popped into my head when I heard I was going to be speaking with you, is you worked at McDowell's. And it's funny, of all the movies that you make, how that one still is so evergreen, and that's a movie I've seen probably 20 times, and when it comes on, I find myself watching the whole thing all over again. Do you still get a lot of people mentioning McDowell's?
Yeah, you know, people bring it up all the time. I just saw Arsenio recently we were doing a benefit for Bobby Slayton. His wife unfortunately passed away, and he was there. And you know, we're just both still working, and it's, you know, it's really great all the people that came out of there, Samuel Jackson, you know. And, you know, that was such a big, that was a week of my life. But that thing is constantly being brought up to me. And I just heard Kevin Hart was going to do a remake of it. And I was asked by TMZ, are you going to, would you reprise your part? And I said, well, I would hope that I'm a manager by then.
Oh, too funny. You know what's interesting, too, is that I never knew this, but you originally were going to be in Perfect Strangers and end up getting snubbed. When that happened so earlier in your career, did you think, oh, it's all over for me? I mean, did that hit you hard? Because you didn't know you were going to have the career you were going to have.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I never felt like it. Like, I never, you know, I guess I think if I get knocked down, my feeling is never to stay down. Because if you're in a family of 11 and you're the 10th child of 11, you're going to get knocked down all the time.
Right.
And so if you don't get up, then you are going to disappear in that family. And so, you know, I learned everything about show business in a lot of ways in that one instance, though, because I had all these relationships with these people that I shot the show with, and then a third party told me I was fired. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a person I had no real contact with, and I just went, oh, this is bad. So that I learned a lesson, but I'm glad nothing against Perfect Strangers, but that wouldn't have been that would have taken me on a whole different spiral. I don't know what would have happened.
No doubt about it. A couple more questions for Louie Anderson. He's at Cobb's Friday and Saturday. I grew up, I'm 51, you know, growing up watching Johnny Carson and the monologue, and I was in college when you made your debut, and you were such a splash hit. What was that like? Because back then, that was the holy grail to get on Johnny.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest thing in my life. And that was my big goal, you know. That was like my number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
I had two goals. One, to get my name on the Comedy Store, and the other one was to be on the Johnny Carson show. And so it was like a dream come true. It was like one of the biggest things in my life. I still remember it vividly. And again, I watched that show with my parents.
Was that like an out of body experience for you? I mean,
it was. I don't know if you know, if you've read that article, but it was an out of body experience for me. I was above myself, looking down at myself and thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? And it was the weirdest, most weird, eerie, but yet calm. I was so calm about it all. Because, you know, a good comic has probably worked 5 years
right.
on their first TV set. Probably 5 years, if not longer, to get that, to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of on rails at that point. I guess once you get the first laugh, it just goes by itself.
Well, it's like what you do, you know, how smooth you are, because you're really, it's true, though. You can tell, I could tell in the first minute that I was going to be in good hands on this interview. So it's one of those things where people really, you're a professional, and you just work so hard at being great at one thing, and you're looking for perfection. So, you know, I had a big killer set on my first Tonight Show, and it changed my life. The next day, I got a holding deal from, NBC. I got so many things. I was a headliner in Vegas the following week.
Wow.
Not a headliner, but I was opening for the Commodores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after that first performance, and I would say that it threw me into the perfect orbit. And you know, I'm 63 now, and to still be working, doing stand up. And I can tell you, I think that early training in stand-up, that early thing, you know, I'm getting ready to shoot my 7th one-hour special, but I just think that all was the foundation that was laid. And that's what I try to stress to people, you know, driving by. I'm standing outside. Sorry. I try to stress that to people, like young comics. I go, hey, what's your foundation? What's your point of view? Hey, don't do any material that doesn't mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your point of view? Where are you going? Like I say to them, where are you going? What's important to you? I mean, I had a purpose. I knew where I was going. I wanted to touch as many people with my comedy as I could. I wanted you, when you come and see my show, to forget about your troubles. That's my main goal. That's my number one goal, is if you could forget about your troubles.
It's interesting you say that because a few months ago I had Dana Gould in here, and I asked him about some of the changes for a guy that's worked consistently since the 80s as well. And he said, I always wondered what my career was going to be like. Well, now I know how it went. Do you kind of see what he's coming from there?
Yeah. And you know, he is one of the greatest, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dana Gould, if you haven't had a chance to see, I know I should be plugging myself, but if you haven't seen Dana Gould, go see him. But, you know, that is a class. I think I was in a special class of comedy. I think that era, I think that was a special, like, class. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You know, like, we were kind of like, I don't know, I felt like, I know there were a lot of guys who came before us that probably laid the foundation, but I felt like we were the first one to be showcased in, you know, on HBO and to have our own specials. And, you know, it was just kind of like the rollout of stand-up comic. I think you had Buddy Hackett and Bob Hope and all those guys, you know, Johnny Carson and Jackie Gleason and all those people prepped us for a brand new era in comedy. And I feel like I was a part of it.
Yeah, like the Jake Johansons, the Gary Shandlings. All in that era.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam Kennison, Jerry Seinfeld, Howie Mandel, all the Comedy Store guys, all the improv guys. And I think everybody that was going, I think we were all like somehow connected. I think we were linearly, it was like a linear, I don't know. It was like we all were standing, abreast, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we were all trying to march forward. I felt like I was in an alliance. I felt like I was in a true alliance. Like I never felt competitive with all those guys.
That's a great way of looking at it. And I wish I could talk to you for another hour. We got to go to a break. The website is louieanderson.com. I want to remind everybody, Cobb's out here in North Beach on Columbus Street. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And the special, when is that coming out, Louie?
It'll probably be out in January. I'm going to shoot it, I think, probably a little later in January. I'm going to shoot it New Year's Eve, I think, in Minnesota.
All right.
So,
we look forward to seeing you there. Awesome stuff. Hey, next time you come into town, I hope it works out that you can come in studio. I'd love to meet you in person.
I would love to. Listen, let's try and do it. I promise you, I'd love to.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Louie.
All right. Thank you.
Louie Anderson at Cobb's Friday and Saturday. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.